Welcome to the Talk with Tori podcast. I'm your host, Tori Jones, and I'm so glad that you're here. It's time to have some fun. On each episode, I will chat with a friend and we will share random life topics, tips and tricks, fun stories, and more serious stories filled with some real talk to make you laugh, maybe cry, make you think, but most of all, bring a smile to your face. We all have a story to share, so I hope you enjoyed this one. So grab your favorite Starbucks, a glass of wine, water, I don't care, you do you, girl, because it's time to peel back the layers and add a little spice to it.
All right, Moira, we're live. Okay, y'all, I'm super excited. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Y'all, let's just talk about this. She has like the cute, she's like Miss Fashionista. She has like the cutest sweater. Her hair's all curled, everything. And I'm over here looking like a crazy person, you know, haven't showered. Well, actually, no, I did shower. I showered, but I did not, you know, put on the makeup or straighten my hair. So we're just here chilling. But that's what's nice about a podcast. But y'all, I'm super excited to introduce y'all to my sweet, precious friend, Moira Pyle, soon to be also Brooke. And we'll talk about that very, very soon. But I'm really excited for y'all to meet her. She and I met, I guess, like a year and a half ago. And our friendship, we'll tell you all about how that all happened throughout this podcast. But she was my small group leader for a small group about like girlfriends and friendship. And it was so good and so helpful. And I knew I loved her. I always stalk the leaders before I pick a small group. And my girlfriend, Grace, hey, Grace, she saw like two that she liked the topic. And I was like, okay, well, let's talk. And when I saw a picture of Moira, I was like, that's my kind of girl. And look at us now. Look at us now. Okay. So I want you to kind of share a little bit more about you, Moira, for the listeners to know, and a little bit about what you're doing right now, what your life's like, and maybe a funny, random, crazy story if you want to share or anything that you want to say.
Perfect. Well, let me also just tell everyone. So Tori and I found out very quickly we were both consultants.
Woo!
For our national sorority. And so that was an immediate bonding experience.
Yeah.
Because there's no one else like an LC. And so you understood that world just as much as I did.
Yeah.
But like Tori said, my name is Moira and I actually moved to Auburn, Alabama 2.5 years ago. I'm originally from Kansas, grew up there, went to college there, and then transitioned to Auburn to work for my national sorority, Tri Sigma, as a leadership consultant. Yes. Love those girls. But when I moved here, I immediately got plugged in with the community. I didn't know a soul.
We both didn't know anyone. So we had a lot in common when we moved here.
Yes. Knew no one, but I just felt so loved and accepted by the people here in Auburn. And so about halfway through my time as a consultant, I was like, I have to stay here. And so I felt at peace with that transition. And then now I work at Auburn University as an Auburn Clubs coordinator and love what I get to do. I've been doing that for the last year and a half and love this life here in Auburn. I just am so happy to be connected to the church that I am, to have the friendships that I have. I love my job and my coworkers. And more recently, I have gotten engaged. Love that I met my future husband here. And it's just been a depiction of God's faithfulness and just the truth that I needed to be in Auburn. So,
yes. We're super excited to tell y'all their love story. I'm going to be a bridesmaid in their wedding. So honored. So can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to get married here, which is going to be amazing. And can't wait for y'all to learn all about it. I mean, planning a wedding in a pandemic's a little bit interesting, right?
Yes, for sure. I think we're holding on to the hope that maybe by August, things will be back to normal somewhat.
I think so.
But we definitely have a contingency plan, which I think a lot of people have now for a normal experience or something that has to be modified.
I also think like weddings moving forward are all going to have that. Mm-hmm. Because I think like now, even if it's not a pandemic, I think people are going to be more like, the weather, I mean, people always have a backup plan for the weather, but maybe not as intense, or like the flu, or like someone, you know, there could be a death in the family. I feel like people are going to be thinking about things a lot more than even they did before, in my
opinion. Absolutely. Yes.
So, okay. Well, y'all, she's a great love story and I'm a part of it. So that's probably why I like it. So I want everyone to know your love story because y'all were a few days out from Valentine's Day. And so that's why I kind of wanted Moira to come on here and share a love story because you're like me, you love a good love story, and you love a good sweet love story, and a love story that came straight from the Lord, straight from Jesus, and has some fun little twists and turns. So I want to hear more about your love story.
Yes. Well, my funny story that I have been thinking about really has to do with when Peyton and I met.
Okay.
So Tori was my connection.
Yeah.
And then our friend Louisa knew my fiance Peyton. And so the two girls had been scheming and tried to come up with some time for us to meet. And it was actually at a tailgate in November of 2019. And so I had planned a tailgate for some of my other friends, but Tori was certain I was going to go over and meet Peyton for the first time.
And I had also never been to this tailgate.
Yes. Okay, so we're thinking like big time Auburn SEC football tailgate, right? So we're like, I'm heading there all by myself, going to meet Tori so I can go meet this guy. And so I meet up with Tori and some of our other friends. And Tori is like, you ready? Like, let's go meet him. And so I literally only went to that tailgate to go see Peyton. Uh-huh. And so we roll up a squad of 6 women.
And some boys. Okay, there were a lot of people.
It was so many people. Like, if I was Peyton, I would have been like, who are these people coming to our tailgate? Mind you, this is his family's tailgate. And so, like, he's like, why are these people here that I don't even know? And not that he was questioning it, but I think he was just surprised.
And well, so, that it was that many.
Yes, 100%. And so I got introduced to Peyton, and it was very much like a high and a bye. And so y'all have to know this about me. I would meet anyone. It could be to, you know, to have a connection for work, to meet a new friend, to get set up. Like, I would meet anyone and just have fun with it. And so to me, there was no pressure as to what this relationship could look like. And so I met Peyton, and I think I said maybe 10 words to him or less.
I felt so bad.
Girl. Okay, so long story short, we all left, and Louisa said, Peyton, what did you think about the girl in the hat? And he's like, oh, like, she was cute. Why? And she was like, that's the girl we want to set you up with. And Peyton was like, oh my gosh, I wish I would have known that. Otherwise, I would have talked to her more. And so it's funny now looking back that the first time we met was when I thought he knew about it and he had no idea. And yeah. So that was my crazy story. That's how it all started.
Yeah. So basically what happened was Louisa was like, I have this guy that's 29 and was he 29 at the time?
Yes.
Yeah, 29 and he's single, great family, great guy, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, hold up 1 second. I've got some single friends that we can roll with. And so when she talked about him, explained like his personality, I was like, okay, he would get along with Moira. And I knew Moira, and we'll talk about this a little bit with like matchmaking, but like I knew Moira would have fun no matter what. Like I think some people put way too much pressure on it, but it's like just meet people. You never know. Like this could happen, this could happen. So anyways, we met at the tailgate. It was weird.
Yes, it was.
So then what happened?
It was a little weird. So that was in November, and I did not talk to Peyton again face-to-face until January of 2020. And Tori had organized a group date that—
In like 10 minutes,
right before Christmas. And so when we got back from the holiday—
The day you got back.
Yeah, literally the day I got back. We went on a group date, and— just had a good time. I love getting to learn more about him. It was definitely a refreshing experience for him to know that we were going to be meeting, and just really had a sweet and intentional conversation. And so after that night, he asked me to go out on a date individually.
I was so glad.
And really, January is such a blur. I mean, every moment that we could, we were spending time together, getting to know each other and having intentional conversations. And very specifically, what I prayed for and wrote down in my journal every single day about how a man should pursue me, how he should honor me, open the door for me. Like, I was as specific as it could be, and also very general in what I was believing for my future husband. And God just gave me so much clarity and peace that Peyton was that gentleman in that moment. And so even though there was no moment where I felt like, oh, that's definitely going to be my husband, because it just happened so instantly, it was like God continued to give me peace and assurance through that relationship that this man is everything that you have been praying for and believing for. And our relationship was just so special because of that.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I love that. Well, we were kind of obsessed with their relationship. I mean, I'm married, y'all know, so... not as many like excitement, but y'all, every little thing, we like thought it was so fun. So I remember when I was like 100% they're going to get married. What moment do you think that would be?
The
edible arrangement.
Okay.
The edible arrangement, y'all.
What? I was not going to say that. Okay.
What did
okay.
you think?
I was going to say, like, at the beginning of COVID-19. Like, I feel like that was when things really started to, like, turn. Because Peyton and I both were very busy in our careers and traveled a lot.
Yeah.
And so to have something like the pandemic happen, we started spending a lot more quality time together. Because that's all you could do.
Yeah.
And so our relationship grew so quickly. But yes, the edible arrangement.
Okay, tell them about the edible arrangement. Y'all, I was, like, shook.
Okay, so I'm going to be honest. I always kind of thought edible arrangements were sweet, but like, who would order someone that?
I've only gotten one once.
Okay.
From an ex. Like, but like, I mean, I didn't know much about him.
Yes. Okay. So when I was, okay, it would have been January. In January of 2020, I was fasting. I was doing the Daniel fast. Okay. That's why he sent me an edible arrangement.
Yes. That's why I was like, yes, baby. Yes.
I couldn't remember. But anyway, I was at the office and then all of a sudden there was an edible arrangement for me. And I was like, this is so random. I've never been sent an edible arrangement. And on the card, it was so sweet. It was like, I know that you're doing the Daniel fast, so hopefully this can be like a sweet treat for you. And it was just a huge bouquet of fruit. And I ate that fruit, y'all.
You ate it?
For like 4 weeks because it was so much fruit.
Yeah.
So,
okay, tell them what the Daniel fast is and why you do that.
Yes. So I did the Daniel fast as a part of Church of the Highlands, 21 Days of Prayer and Fasting. And so the Daniel fast is actually because of the story of Daniel in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And really the highlights are no meat or protein really of any kind, no sugar, no added sugar. You can have fruit, but nothing artificial. And then no dairy and no bread. Mm-hmm. And so I just eat a lot of clean vegetables and fruits, and you can have nuts and beans and that type of thing. But I really did that just because I feel like prayer gets you so much closer to the Lord. And then fasting really removes any distractions of the world that would get in the way of you getting closer to the Lord. And so love the Daniel fast. If you haven't tried it, look it up. I did it again this January for 2021. And it's just such a good refresh. And it's really not about the diet per se. It's just about ridding your body of the things and the temptations that it wants. And so I love it.
Okay, well, I've never done the Daniel fast, but, you know, we do 21 days of prayer with Church of the Highlands together, and y'all, anyone can do it. So you can actually do it now, starting today. It's on churchofthehighlands.com, and it's in the archives, 21 days of prayer. So if you ever just want to go through 21 days, I say do it. I mean, actually, fun fact, we both met our husbands during 21 days of prayer.
Yes, we did.
Isn't that crazy?
So crazy.
Actually, I think I met Josh on the very first day of 21 days of prayer, and you met Peyton the day before. Well, not met him, but your first date. But I don't necessarily consider the other that meeting. So y'all, then he sent her like flowers for Valentine's, and that y'all became boyfriend and girlfriend quick like we did.
Yeah, we became boyfriend and girlfriend the day after 21 days of prayer ended. And so that's just another reason why I felt so confident in our relationship, because I think I was praying through it daily. Like, is this really what God has for me? Because during 21 days of prayer, it's really special to know how closely you can get to the Lord, but you also sometimes feel distraction creep in.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be certain Peyton was not just a distraction that was going to move me away from what God's plan for my life was. And I never had a doubt that he was part of that plan, but you do want to discern that when you're in that moment.
I love it. And so y'all, they just kept dating and I just like loved it constantly. Y'all seeing love right in front of you and knowing that, like, I think God would have brought y'all together even if we wouldn't have introduced you, but it's so sweet that, you know, God puts it on people's hearts to introduce people, or, you know, you just never know the purpose. It's very sweet how it all happened. So they kept dating.
Yes. And I want to know some of the key parts of our relationship. So I thought you were going to say when COVID happened, because y'all, when COVID-19 happened, and like I said earlier, I had no family here. And so we really were questioning, like, who do you spend time with? Who do you see?
Well, yeah.
Peyton's whole family lives in Auburn or Opelika, which is a neighboring city. And so I spent every week with them, and they were that family for me. And so that was another area of provision that I felt like that was who I was supposed to be with in that season. And so countless trips to the beach, lots of takeout orders, lots of game nights. And then when things started to return back to normal in the summer, and I say normal loosely, but when things started to open back up, it was just really cool to continue somewhat of normal life alongside of each other. And Hayden got a brand new job at Auburn this summer.
His dream.
Yes, his dream to work at Auburn University. And so getting to celebrate that season together was really important and really special. And I don't know, it just, summer and fall have been a blur, but I would say it's been a really sweet season of like encouraging and cheering each other on through life and learning more about one another. And it all kind of runs together when you're in it. But I think I will never forget those special memories that we had because of a pandemic happening and us just being intentional with our relationship and then just doing life alongside of each other. Like you hear that a lot when people are in healthy dating relationships is like, you just want to do life with that person constantly.
I agree.
And that's how it was for us. And so.
And you're going to do life forever.
I know. I know. I can't wait. And I think too, like being together for the last year allowed us to see not just the good, but also some of the hard things that we walked through. I mean, I personally have gone through a really difficult season with my family as well as individually. Like I was really battling some spiritual difficulties and that was something I had to work through, and to have Peyton there to support me and pray for me and to be in that with me. I think the biggest thing, we just celebrated a 1 year.
Yes.
And I think the biggest thing that really stuck out to me was like, he loved me when I thought no one would and accepted me for the things that I was so ashamed of in my past.
Yeah.
And so to have someone like want to pull you closer or love you more because of that is so unique. And I believe is a God designed relationship. Yeah. And so it has just been the sweetest year.
Oh, I love it. I want to cry. That is so sweet. Well, I like love hearing that because I pray for every woman and man, girls and guys, to be able to have that love that we all pray for. And, you know, Moira met her husband when, how old were you?
23.
You know, I didn't meet Josh till I was 25. And, you know, Peyton didn't meet you till he was 29. You know, you just don't know the aging. Josh was 28 when he met me. And so I always say, just don't settle. Wait for that guy that's going to love you through the dark and through the happy and through the crazy. Because y'all know I'm a little much. So, okay. So tell me about your engagement. I got to watch it, y'all. Gosh. But talking about, my heart was pounding out of my chest.
I wish I could have witnessed everyone's reaction because, okay, so Peyton is so silly and totally planned it without me having any clue about it, which is honestly kind of hard to do. I feel like I pretty much can discern when something's weird, like something's up, something's going on. But the week it happened, my boss had asked me if I would record a video on behalf of the Auburn Alumni Association. And I love communicating. I love that type of assignment. I'm like, yes, pick me. I will go. And so it was Friday, December 4th and 4:15 in the afternoon. And I was going out to Sanford Lawn in front of the Christmas tree. They have this beautiful, grandiose Christmas tree with orange and blue all over it.
She was in an Auburn outfit.
I was in an Auburn outfit because I was recording the video. But let me also say, it was rainy. I didn't do my hair. And my makeup had been rubbed off because I had it on all day. And I was going to work out after work. And so I was like, I'll just fix it later tonight before we go to dinner. Because Peyton and I had dinner plans. But anyway, so I'm recording the video. And then we're like taking a moment to try again. And Peyton comes out from behind the Christmas tree. And I jump, y'all. I wish you could see the video. Like, I, like, jump. I think I was cold, scared, and excited. All of those things at once. And I was like, what are you doing here?
So you didn't think proposal?
Not in that moment. No.
That's what was amazing.
I know. And so he, like, comes over to me. I'm focused on work, y'all. I'm like, I'm getting this video recorded and going to work out.
Yeah.
And so he comes near me, and I'm like, what are you doing here? And we've surprised each other at work before. And he was like, oh, I came to see you. And like, right when he said that, I knew. And so he got really close and you hear everyone say this, but like, you kind of black out.
Yeah.
And we did have someone videoing it and we had one of his best friends take pictures, but what Peyton and I remember, you can hear in the video. And then it like cuts out because he's talking so softly.
That's sweet though.
But it was so sweet. Tori and our friend Mally were there.
We were like telling him when to turn the corner. I was like, if I screw this up, oh my gosh.
Yes.
And we could just see him poke out. We're like, get out.
I know. So funny. And actually another friend of mine was there too and captured some pictures of it as well. So it just was really funny getting to be a part of that. And so Tori and Mally came across the street and congratulated us. And Tori was looking so cute. And I was like, this girl is going somewhere after this. And I had always told Peyton I wanted an engagement party of some sort.
Yeah, you had told me that. So you knew that somebody was going to be somewhere.
Yes. And so Peyton was like, let's go get a drink before we call anyone. And I want to tell you about all of the details and like how I planned it and when I got the ring. And you know,
and
all
her
of those...
ring's stunning. It's exactly what you prayed for, huh?
Yes.
And more.
I know. So much more. My like jaw dropped. I said yes without even looking at the ring, obviously. And then when he put it on my finger, I was like, like shocked.
That's it. Yeah. We went ring shopping together, y'all.
That was fun. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Praise God we did, because Peyton like definitely appreciated that. So thank you for being willing. But anyway, so Tori looked so cute and I looked at Peyton and I was like, before we go get a drink, are we going to take more pictures later? And he was like, if you want to. And like right in that moment, I was like, yep, we're going somewhere else. And so I made him drive me home. He was like, do you want to drive separate? I was like, like we are staying like by each other this whole night. Like I was so excited. And we went to my house and I curled my hair.
And you looked fabulous.
Girl, I touched up my makeup and changed my clothes.
Are you so glad you did?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you looked amazing.
I would have been so upset if I didn't have a different outfit on. So, anyway, that was fun. We went and grabbed a drink at the Collegiate, which Tori and I love the Collegiate.
If you come to Auburn, we'll take you.
Yes.
If you live in Auburn, we'll take you.
Yes. They have a rooftop bar. It's incredible. Can't say enough nice things. If you're local, definitely go check it out. But yeah, so anyway, we leave the Collegiate and we're heading to dinner at Cafe 123.
Where y'all's first date was.
Where our first date was. Yeah. And we go there a lot, honestly. But anyway, we were going to stop by Zach, Peyton's brother's law office, and see Christmas decorations, which is so random in itself. Like, I was like, whatever.
So, do you think the party would be there or at the cafe?
No, I thought it would be there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. No. And I only thought it would be there when Peyton told me, like, we're going to stop by Zach's, which he told me kind of early. And so I was like, well, that's weird. But anyway, so y'all, I called my parents, FaceTimed them on our way to Zach's law office, and they were being so sketched. So anyway, I knew they were coming. I knew there was going to be a party. I walked in the door. It was still very sincere and special. Couldn't have been any better, even if I had an inkling that it was going to happen. And that was the day of our engagement. Just got to celebrate with our closest friends. And
now the wedding's planned. I get to be a part of it. I'm super excited. It's going to be stunning. We're going to dance. We're going to party. You know, I love a good wedding.
Yes. I cannot wait. It's going to be a dream. And I'm so glad that Peyton and I get to include Tor.
And I'm honored.
Just our very closest friends. So.
Yeah, it'll be fabulous. And like our little friend group, our group of girls are all going to be in it. And that's just going to be so fun. So, okay. So obviously y'all know that I match made them along with my friend Louisa. And one of the questions I get a lot, because people have known that like I've match made people a lot. I've introduced a lot of people, and like sometimes I'll even like introduce friends, not even just like a relationship. And so I think it's so, I mean, y'all, today's society, it's so freaking hard to meet people. Like it is. I mean, y'all know me and Josh not on Tinder, so whatever. But, you know, it's hard to meet people, and it's also, like, really nice if people will, like, pay the favor forward. So, like, for me, you know, I was single for years, and I remember people would always want to introduce me to people, but then they wouldn't really follow through, and I would kind of get my hopes up after they'd talk about someone. So, like, just follow through on that. So, we're going to give y'all some matchmaking tips.
Yay.
Okay, matchmaking tips, because I've matched made quite a few people. Of course, like my favorite success story ever is Moira and Peyton, but you know, we have some other little success stories and then some that didn't work out that good. Okay, so what do you think are some matchmaking tips?
So I've never really match made a relationship that's continued to work out. I think in college I did it a lot just because it was fun. So you really made me put my thinking cap on when we were going to talk about this. And so one of the things that I just thought about was it's really important to know what the person is looking for. Mm-hmm. I think you need to like clearly identify what they want out of this relationship. You know, is it a friendship? Is it someone to go have a casual date with? Are they looking for a future husband and praying for that? And there needs to be a little bit more intentionality. And not that you can't just have a casual date with someone that could potentially be your future husband, but that just shows you what season of life they're in and what relationship they're ready for next. So I would say it's so important to know what they're looking for. And then the second thing, which I think is totally a Tory tip, but like, don't be afraid to ask friends or coworkers or people you've met if they're single.
I've done that, y'all. I'm a creep. And I'm like, I'm like, listen, I'm not hitting on you, but are you single? I am married.
Yes. See, and I love that tip because how else are you going to know? And I think you really do have to say, like, I think you're awesome and wonderful. Like, are you single? And like starting that conversation, and not that everyone is looking for a relationship. That's not the point of it. But to just have some more intentionality of when you are trying to match.
So should I tell them how I asked that guy if he was single? Yes. Y'all, I was at the chiropractor. This guy's like rubbing all over my foot because y'all know I have a foot issue. And I was like, I don't mean to be weird or forward. And I'm definitely not hitting on you. I'm married. And turns out he actually knew Josh. So like that made it maybe less weird, but whatever. I'll ask anyone anything. And I was like, I don't mean to be weird, but are you single? He was like, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of seeing someone, but I don't think it'll work out. Why? I was like, well, I have a few people I'd love to introduce you to. And he was like, oh, I'm so flattered.
I love that.
So then I followed him on Instagram, and I haven't given up on you. I won't say your name on here, but I haven't given up. I'm going to find you a wife.
I love it. And when you do, you can let him listen to this part of your podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I need to tell him. So, but yeah, anything else?
I would say the other thing, and this sounds maybe silly, but like, I think when you matchmake, people want to know about the person that you're setting them up with. And so having like a picture or having some information to just kind of provide some ease of any anxiety around having a blind date or getting set up. That's really important. And knowing someone who knows them, right? So like, I think that's really wonderful that Louisa was able to come alongside of you and say like, this is Peyton. I know a lot about him and his family. And so you both could vouch for us.
But like what's crazy is like, I had to trust her. And I flat out told you, I was like, I do not know this dude. Like he could be crazy, but my friend is not crazy. So I don't think she would lead us astray, but like, you never know.
Right. Right.
Okay. So I have a few. This is my number one. I think you need to take the pressure off on both ways, both sides, whether you were being match made or whether you were the matchmaker. And I think you just don't need to overthink it. Just, you know, I think if you're being match made, just appreciate that somebody wants to do that for you and just don't stress about it and enjoy. My mom always reminded me when I was like dating or like when she's like talking to my friends, she was like 99% of the time, it's not going to work out. So like, just take the pressure off and see where it goes. But like, you're never going to know if it's going to work out if you don't go and try. And like, also like, I think one thing too, when people are matchmaking you, most likely they've never dated that person. Okay. So like, they don't necessarily know how that person's going to be in a relationship. And so like, I think a lot of times, like, you can't put the pressure on the person matchmaking you anyways that this is going to be a fairy tale. Because most likely it's not, but, like, you never know where it's going to lead. I want to tell a story about my friend Dana. I call her Donna. Hey, Donna. She will eventually be on the podcast with her story, but she has matched me quite a few people. And one time, I think this story was cool. So you just never know how it's going to end up working out. I don't know if she met a guy maybe on Tinder or one of the things. I don't know. And they went out, but like, it definitely wasn't going to be like a relationship, but like, she enjoyed him as a person. So like, invited her into her friend group and just became friends. Well, then years later, match made him with another one of her friends and they got married.
Wow.
So like, you just don't know how it's all going to work out, but like, she didn't know. I mean, like, you just don't know how it's going to work out. And then just enjoy it. Go on dates and have fun. And then also, I think this is really important. Everybody's going to be different. So like, ask if they want like a group date or if they just want you to like give him or her like your number, or if like they just want to meet really quick or if they'd rather like talk before or like, you know what I'm saying? Like ask what they would prefer because everyone's different. Like when I was match made before, like I've gone on group dates before, but like also like I would be fine meeting up with someone one-on-one, but some people aren't comfortable with that. This is my other tip. Introduce people and then that's up to them. Like it's up to the guy to pursue after that, or it's up to the girl to want to hang out with him after that. Like that's not up to you as the matchmaker anymore. Like you introduce, you do that, and then like if it doesn't work out, like, and I always tell people that up front, I'm like, listen, it may not work out, but like I'm here to like help you out. And then But yeah, it's fun. I love matchmaking people, so I would love to do it as a career. But also, like, don't flake if you tell someone you're going to set them up. Like, try to follow through as much as you can, because I think that gets really disappointing. And I know that, like, I went through that a little bit. Or, like, if it's not going to work out, just be like, hey, like, he actually is dating someone or she's dating someone, or, like, I just don't think it'll work out. Like, don't, like, just leave people hanging.
Yeah.
I hate flakiness in general. Mm-hmm. You're good about following through more. If you say you're going to do something, you do it. A lot of people don't.
Right, for sure. And I love those tips.
Okay, well, let's switch gears a little bit. I think you have such a great story. And I know with, like, Valentine's Day coming up and, like, talking about relationships and talking about stuff like this, I feel like it can trigger a lot of people with, like, some past. And you know, you've grown a lot in your faith over the last few years, and you've really found freedom through shame from your past. And so will you tell us more about this journey that you went through?
Yes, I really love talking about this. And that sounds weird, because a lot of times talking about pain and the hurt from your past can be difficult. But I think I'm at a place where I can speak from healing and growth and change. And so as I was praying about what I could really share, I just felt like there were a few key things that the Lord placed on my heart that I wanted everyone to hear that has the opportunity to listen to this podcast. And so just to start us off, I know I mentioned I moved here 2.5 years ago, and the first Sunday I was in Auburn, I attended Church of the Highlands. I had been recommended this church from another woman in Tri-Sigma, and so I went and checked it out. I have always been a believer, but there was no concept of relationship with the Lord until I really moved here. And so it was in a moment of worship during that first Sunday in Auburn where I felt God so clearly speak to me, I want you to recommit your life and have a fresh start. And so when you hear something like that from God, you know it's divine. And so for me, it was like, absolutely, like I'm going all in and I'm committing myself to live my life for Jesus. And so coming to a place where no one knew who I was, no one knew my past, it was honestly refreshing. Yes. No one was defining me for the choices that I had made either in high school or in college. And so a couple weeks in, recruitment had just happened and small group season was about to launch at Church of the Highlands. And because I didn't really know anyone here, I wanted to join two different groups. So I joined a group that was based on a Stephanie Mae Wilson devotional, and it was called Girl Talk.
Oh, and you've led that.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I've led that since. And I actually met my first best friend in Auburn, Laura, who will be in the wedding as well.
I know, I can't wait to meet her. Hey, Laura, what's up, girl? I know she'll be listening.
I know. She's so sweet and such a dear friend. And then I also joined a freedom group. And so for anyone who's been around Highlands, either in the state of Alabama or even into Columbus, they've probably heard of freedom. And so for those of you who have not, it is a curriculum that was created by Church of the Highlands. And it really is for those people who are ready to take their next step after knowing God. And so once you know Jesus and you start to become into a relationship with him, it's so important to experience freedom from the pain of your past, whether that's choices you've made, things that have happened to you, words that have been said by you or others, just those areas in your life where you have bondage and you really need to experience freedom so you can continue to take your next step and discover your purpose and why you were created. Mm-hmm. And so what freedom did for me, first of all, was made me aware of what it was. Mm-hmm. And so the two areas that I really struggled with were purity and shame. So just to be really vulnerable with you all, I had no concept of a boundary when I was in a relationship. So we did not have emotional boundaries. That person knew every area of my heart and my soul. We didn't have physical boundaries. I gave a lot of myself to those people. And so because of that, I had emotional soul ties on my life with every single person that I had that level of intimacy with. Mm-hmm. And so freedom made me aware of that and really made me want to start getting rid of and removing those soul ties so that I could be free and experience the life that God had for me. And so one thing that I felt like was important to share is the difference between guilt and shame. And mm-hmm. guilt comes when you feel bad about something that you did, whereas shame comes from when you feel bad about who you are. Mm-hmm. And I felt like my decisions defined me. And so those mistakes that I had made with my emotional and my physical intimacy were in my mind every single day. And I thought that those relationships, those people, those choices were going to forever define me, prevent me from experiencing true love. I felt completely unworthy, unqualified, insecure, like daily was struggling to find my purpose and who I was. And so, you know, I can speak about it now because for 2.5 years, I have been free from that. And so I did also want to share, you know, freedom was the platform that I experienced the change, but hear this, it is no doubt it was God's hand through that curriculum and through the conference, which culminates the small group. It was God's healing power and his hand over my life that removed that chain. And so it was incredible to me to grow closer to the Lord, experience a vibrant, real relationship for the first time, and for him to so faithfully come alongside of me and heal those areas in my heart and remove the things that weren't supposed to be there. And I will just encourage anyone experiencing shame to know they're not alone, mm-hmm. and they don't have to feel like those decisions define them. And I know what it's like to feel like that. But what really shifted it for me was when I had the opportunity to speak about it. And it was the hardest thing to share. And I, like I said earlier, I didn't think anyone was going to love me for it. But to have people who, you know, could raise their hand and say, me too, or I've been in that situation and I'm going to pray for you and support you and how can I hold you accountable? And it was just so empowering to me when I could take my mask off, be real, be raw, and have God come into my life and heal me, that is when the shame started to leave my physical being and my soul and my spirit. And so I will just say the first step is going to be the hardest because the enemy does such a good job of lying to you and telling you that no one will look at you the same when you tell them who you really are and the things that you've really done. But I will just encourage you with this. That is far from true. In my experience, no one has turned their back on me when I've told them about who I really was. Rather, they prayed for me. They encouraged me. They loved me. They brought me in and I have grown tremendously because I've set any pride aside, any shame aside, any worry of what people were going to think, because God's plan is for you to be loved and for you to experience grace and forgiveness from yourself and from others. And so I will just get around community that are going to be those people that can listen and not judge you, but to be there for you and have an intentional relationship where they steward your growth alongside of you. So I experienced a lot of heaviness before I moved here, but God definitely removed me out of that heaviness, placed me here in Auburn, and I've been able to really grow and change and remove those areas of my life that I felt crippled by every single day.
Wow, that was beautiful. I mean, I appreciate you being vulnerable and telling us because it's not easy, and it's also like, you know, you think, who's going to listen to this? Like, I'm really opening myself up, but I just appreciate you sharing that because no matter what shame or guilt or decisions you're not proud of, every single person experiences that all in a different way. And so I just think that was so encouraging. And finding that freedom and having, I totally agree with you about the community where people are lifting you up. And I feel like once you speak it, it's like something is different and something is different. And, you know, we were all made to share our mess, and our mess is our message, and we were all made to share that. And so I know that's going to encourage so many people.
And I was also going to say this really quickly that I feel like God placed on my heart to share was there are some parts of my story that I never thought God was going to use for good. Right. Yeah. So they're really ugly. My least proudest moments, just areas that I felt extremely insecure in that are hard to talk about still. But it was this year I was leading Freedom and I had the opportunity to pray for a woman to experience freedom from shame. And I asked her very clearly, you know, what is it? Like, what is causing that deep shame? And it was crazy to me that her story was exactly the same one that I had.
Wow.
That I thought God would never use that part of my story to heal anyone, to speak life, to encourage them, to make them feel not alone. Mm-hmm. And we just had this moment where it was so divine in the fact that God was healing both of us in that moment to just say, you know, what the enemy is intending for evil, God uses for good. And so yes. even it can be the most ugly thing about yourself, God will find a way for you to speak life and encourage and be a miracle for someone else. And mm-hmm. so that just was so important to me to share, because even the thing, you know, even the one thing that you're like holding on to and gripping on to, I promise you, the minute you can start to turn the corner and experience freedom from that, God will continue to show up and allow you to share that with other yeah. people so they can experience the freedom that you have.
Yeah, I love that. Well, mic drop, because that is so true. And you know, it does, when you shared about that, it really reminded me. So with 21 days of prayer, how it works, y'all, is the very beginning is like a message. I would say a message, mm-hmm. like 10 minutes or so. That reminded me of the one that was talking about being someone else's miracle. Mm-hmm. So basically what they were talking about was, you know, you might not have the miracle that you want for yourself, but you can be that for someone else. But like the struggles you go through is so someone else can find that miracle and find that hope through you, and you can use that story. And I agree with you completely about we all have experiences, and I feel like we all have them to help someone else.
Absolutely.
The stuff I've gone through, I'm like, why? I feel like I ask God all the time, why? And now, you know, on the other side, and some of it you're not on the other side of, but you know, opening it up to people, me too. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes. Definitely. And I love that message, this 21 days
yeah. prayer. Everyone should listen to it. I'll link it in the show notes because I think it'd be important for everyone to listen to. And I think it's truly beautiful. So I appreciate you sharing all of that. Let's kind of switch gears a little bit and have some fun.
Yes, let's wrap it up with some fun.
So y'all, we're a few days out from Galentine's. You know, love the pink and red that I love. I mean, if y'all know I love pink, but I also love pink and red. I think it's super cute. Mm-hmm. So let's give some like tips on Galentine's Day, maybe some stories, you know, whatever you kind of want to share.
Absolutely. So let me start by saying Galentine's was some of my favorite times in college. So
me too.
I was in a sorority, as you know, so is Tor. Mm-hmm. We both worked for a sorority yeah. after college. But I remember so clearly putting together a theme and getting decorations and food and gathering the whole chapter together and doing something just with the girls. And it was so important to me. And so Galentine's happens even when I'm dating, even when I'm married.
Yes, same.
You still need to celebrate with your girls. And yes, mm-hmm. there can be some natural camaraderie with the single ladies, and I've been there too.
Me too.
But you will always need your girlfriends, and Valentine's and Galentine's are a perfect time to celebrate and have fun and to just have an excuse.
And it's really more girly than lovey to me.
100% same.
Yeah.
100% same. So love Galentine's. I think something that I've seen to be done, which I thought was really fun, was they had all of the girls take the love languages quiz.
That's cute.
And then that way they could learn about how they could love their sisters better. And I was like, that is so fun. And I love that. So.
Okay. So this sparked like such a funny story. So when I was a consultant for Katie, I probably haven't thought about this in a long time. So Troy Katie, hey Troy Capodelta, I still follow them on Instagram. So I went over Valentine's Day. Okay. So, and let me just tell you, they took it to another level. I woke up and in front of my door was like, not an edible arrangement. Like it was kind of like a handmade, like edible arrangement, like the candy bouquet.
Yeah.
And it was so sweet. And they did like all this stuff. Well, anyways, that night they had like this like big, huge Valentine's party, and it was everyone. And I was like, I like asked a few of the girls, I was like, after a while, I was like, this is very over the top, like whatever. I was like, so do none of y'all have like boyfriends, or like, do y'all just all hang out on Valentine's? Like, what do y'all do? And they were like, oh, you know, like I mean, we were just supposed to be here, and so I started asking some more questions. Turns out, since I was in town, they were all required to come to my Valentine's, party, and I was like, okay, y'all could go do something else. Like, oh my gosh. So, anyways, it was just funny, but, like, they took it to, like, another level, but it was so fun. Like, I think it's so fun to watch chick flicks. We need to have a chick flick night.
Yes, I would love that.
I love watching chick flicks. Also, this is my opinion. I think every girl, no matter if you like plants or not, should get flowers or plants.
Yes.
Everyone wants them. Even if you say you don't like them, for Valentine's, I think you should. We talked about this the other day. Every girl wants a card. If you just gave her a card or a friend a card, that's the thing. Like, it doesn't have to be just to your significant other. I think writing a really nice card to me is the best gift you can receive.
Absolutely. And I'm a words gal. So for me, those are really special. But I think the time that it takes to write a handwritten note is such a sweet gesture. Yes. And it shows that you're willing to spend the time to think about them and to love on them in a unique way. And so those should never go out of style. They should be used for family, for friends, for your significant other, Valentine's Day, or just on a random Tuesday. You should always be willing to write a card.
And everyone wants candy. That's the one time you can have chocolate.
Yes.
I like M&Ms.
I want to say, you're going to laugh. Okay, I don't love candy, but I want candy on Valentine's.
See, I'm not a big candy person, but I love M&Ms and I love chocolate.
Okay, I do love chocolate. I think this could be a substitute for candy, but on Valentine's Day, I always want chocolate-covered strawberries.
Peyton, you better be listening. Chocolate-covered strawberries. Okay, so let me tell you what I actually saw. Like, I don't know if it was Facebook or Instagram yesterday, and I showed it to Josh, and I was like, we should do this. So they were, like, covered strawberries and colors chocolate-covered, and on the edges, they had, like, a scoop, so it looked like a teacup.
Oh, my gosh, that is so cute.
So where I want to make it. I need to find the picture, but anyways, it was so cute. So I'm going to make those. Well, I also think, like, with Valentine's, if you have a significant other, if you have a girlfriend or whoever you have, I think it's fun to have a tradition thing.
Absolutely.
Like, we cook dinner every Valentine's. Well, our first Valentine's, y'all, Josh took it to an extreme. I think your first Valentine's, you should be pursuing them, so you should take it to an extreme. Y'all, he cooked me this, like, huge dinner and bought me, like, this cell phone charger thing that was really thoughtful and this other thing, and then surprised me with a day trip to Atlanta. And we went to the zoo. We went to this, like, specific restaurant of something that I liked. We went to a basketball game. I mean, like, all kinds of stuff. And it was so fun. And so I really think, but, like, we love cooking dinner together. And we like doing, I mean, we've done, like, the heart-shaped pizzas and sushi. The sushi was terrible. And, like, all kinds of stuff. But, like, this year we said what we're going to do is we're going to do, like, an appetizer. Not, like, wine and cheese. But, like, a specific appetizer. And we're going to do a cool dish from his new cookbook, the Snoop Dogg cookbook. from Crook to Cook.
I love it.
And then we are going to make a king cake.
I love that y'all are going to make a king cake.
We're going to make a king cake. So what are y'all going to do for Valentine's? I know y'all went out to eat last year, and you wore that super cute pink dress that you, like, saved for that.
Yes. So I have a bad habit of buying a new outfit for every occasion. It is such a problem. I'm working on it this year.
Well, I've always been like that, but I'm trying to get better.
Yes.
Well, I haven't had anywhere to go, so I have a lot stocked up over here.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Or at least Josh.
But I don't know at this point. It's so funny. By the time this airs, we'll definitely have Valentine's Day plans. But we were talking about it, and he's like, what do you want to do? And so maybe this will be the year that we kind of start our own tradition as to how we spend Valentine's.
Okay. You know what? Actually, Mally and Jada do this on Valentine's, but, like, a bunch of people go here. You know Waffle House decorates?
Really?
Super fancy for Valentine's. And a lot of people go. It's apparently, like, you have to wait in line. But, like, they decorate all, like, pink and red and, like, make it really special. Yes, you should drive by Waffle House. And I'm pretty sure all the Waffle Houses do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that fun?
That is fun. And Peyton loves Waffle House.
Oh, my gosh. That would be y'all.
That would be.
Because y'all always go to, like, fancier dinner. So, like, that'd be kind of fun.
That would be fun.
And you could wear your heart earrings.
I love it.
You'd wear hot pink earrings.
I would.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That would be super fun. Well, do you think celebrating Valentine's is important?
I think celebrating any holiday is extremely important. So Valentine's follows in suit. And I think Valentine's sometimes gets a bad rep because it's the love holiday.
Yes.
And sometimes when you're sad about love, you don't really want to see anything and you don't want to see the pictures and the couples. And I think that's fine, but that doesn't negate the special and sincerity behind celebrating a holiday. And so, yes, celebrating Valentine's, I think, shows that you want to put something on the calendar to make those people feel special in your life. You want to do something to continue to look forward to those relationships growing. And just, I don't know, it's just more intentional time of celebrating a holiday than you would maybe just on a typical evening that you're spending time with that person. So
I agree. Well, I think that's really important. So to our single girls out there, this is just as fun. Don't be down on yourself. It's a super cute holiday. Make it fun. And you know what? God's timing is the best timing, and his story for us is the best story. So if you're listening to this love story or, you know, all of this, and you're like, oh my gosh, how fun. You know, I never believe in your time is coming, because God only knows what our plan is, but his plan is always going to be better. So just, I also loved how you were so specific about what you prayed for. Y'all just keep praying for that and keep going and enjoy the time you have. Every season is a special season. And I don't know if you look back on your life and, like, obviously the time with Peyton, you're probably like, oh, this is the best, but other seasons are amazing too.
Absolutely.
And so I think soaking up whatever season you're in is so important.
Absolutely. And I talked about the season before Peyton and I met, and I don't think if I would have experienced realizing what shame was and becoming free from that, that I would have been ready to be in a relationship. And so no season is wasted. Every single one has a purpose and a reason for growth. And when the time comes for that next big life step that you've been waiting for, you're going to realize how intricate the process was that God had for your life leading up to it. So
I love it.
Nothing is wasted.
Never.
All part of the story and the plan.
The good, the bad, the ugly, the fun.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to ask you the question that I ask everyone, my favorite, because this is where I learn about all the good. So tell us your current favorites, must-haves, recommendations, all people need to know about.
Okay, so I really had four, but I'm
okay, you can say four.
Okay.
I always say a lot. I feel like now, I don't even know why I say top three, because people are like, just tell it all.
I love it. Okay. So this is going to be hilarious, because I've really been thinking about what I wanted to share with you all. One of them is very random, so I'm going to start off with it. I love making a special coffee drink around the holidays.
I love that.
How I make it, you're going to laugh when I tell you. How I make it is I make a cup of coffee. You can use a Keurig or a coffee pot, and I do 8 to 10 ounces of coffee. And then I add a Swiss Miss, no sugar added, hot chocolate packet into the coffee, nothing else. And I stir it up and let it dissolve. Y'all, it is like half coffee, half hot chocolate. It's a less sugary mocha. It literally is God's gift.
And
I drink it December through January. And so I had one last night.
Ooh!
And I was like, I should bring one with me to the podcast. But it is so good. And you have to try it. And I showed someone last night, and they're like, I've literally never heard of it.
Huh.
So anyway,
I love that.
That's my first recommendation. My second recommendation is, so I started working out from home during the pandemic, because the gym had been closed for a long time. And when you're there, things are different. And so I started working out from home, and I'm going to recommend the 21 Day Fix. From Beachbody.
Yeah, I did it one time.
I love it. And so I had just done the workout plan a couple times, and then I decided that I was going to try to do the portion control containers, which LOL, people think they're like the worst, but I love them because it keeps you on track for portion control and what you're going to be putting into your body. And so I will say the 21 Day Fix, the workout, and the diet plan is incredible.
Okay, so I have the containers.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know where they are now, but they're in there somewhere. I remember when I pulled out the first container and saw the amount of hummus that I could put, I was like, I am disgusting how much food I eat. It really makes you aware. I was like, ew. Like, but I should go back to the 21 Day Fix. I do love the portion containers. I like the colors too and the little labels.
Yes, me too. And I say people don't like it because they realize how less of food they should eat. And that's why people don't like it. But before I came over today, like, I measured out my vegetable and my protein, and I'm full.
Yeah.
And
so your body gets used to it. Yeah.
Your body gets used to it. Okay. My next recommendation, which this is totally because I was, you know, thinking about, I'm talking to Tori, the one beauty product I will not live without is the RNF Lash Boost.
Woo!
I love Rodin and Fields Lash Boost. I've used it for like 3 years and it is the best beauty product. Like if I had to cut all skincare, all makeup, like I think that would be the one product I use.
Y'all, her lashes are unreal. We were talking about them the other day. They are the most curled, big, and you get compliments on your Lash Boost lashes all the time, huh?
Yes. People ask if they're fake all the time, especially with mascara on. Like, people are always like, are those
okay,
your
but without
lashes?
Mascara, you still have lashes.
Yes. Yes.
Because it thickens them. So, yeah, let me know if y'all want a Lash Boost. I love it.
Yes. So, that one is definitely a favorite. And then, okay, I'm going to round it out with this one. And it's very uncommon, and I don't think a lot of people have experienced this, and that's why I wanted to share.
Oh. I love it. I'm nervous.
No, don't be.
Excited.
So for Christmas, Peyton got me a gift card to go get a powder brow procedure, which if you haven't heard of powder brow, you've probably heard of microblading.
Yes.
It's very similar. A powder brow is a little bit softer, more of a natural full look for your brows, and it's not like those strokes that happen during a microblading session. And so I went to Auburn Med Spa after the new year and had an amazing physician named Raquel, and she did the procedure and was wonderful. And I am about to be 14 days in. I think I'm on day 13. And they are almost done healing, and then the color will set back in after a couple more weeks where they really start to darken up. But that is my recommendation. Love my procedure. The healing process was a little lengthy, but I struggle with having consistent symmetrical brows.
Yes.
And
me
so
too.
This procedure is going to make them always symmetrical, always there, always present. It's going to save me some time on my makeup routine. And I'm recommending that you check out and Google powder brows.
Okay. Well, you know, I never knew about it till you told me. And y'all, her brows, I don't know how she keeps saying that it's in the healing process because they look amazing. Like literally every time I see her, I'm like, dude, what is it going to look like when it's done? Because they look so good. And you're like, oh, it'll look better. And I'm like, they look freaking amazing.
And I did fill them in slightly today with just a soft powder to make them a little, just make them a little bit more distinct because I'm used to such a, I would say, full brow.
Look, yeah.
But this time I kept it pretty natural and just added a little bit of color. And
well,
so
they're beautiful. Y'all, brows are in. Let's be honest, between Lash Boost and your brows being done, we're going to be wearing masks a while.
I know.
So we got to look at our eyes. I mean, you know, you never thought about it before how like people truly can only see your eyes.
Absolutely.
It's definitely different. And your brows and your eyes be popping, girl. You're looking good. So,
I love it.
Okay. Well, Moira, thank you so much. This was so fun just sitting on the couch and chatting. And thank you so much for being here, sharing with honesty and openness. And I know that this is going to impact and change so many lives. And some people are going to feel encouraged by their shame. Hopefully we have some more matchmakers in the game. And I'm excited to keep seeing your love story unfold through the wedding, throughout your lives, and doing life together. I think it's going to be super special. So thank you so much, Moira.
Well, thank you for having me and for being such a sweet friend. And
I love our friendship.
Me too. And I love the Talk with Tori podcast, and I'm so proud of you. So thank you for having me.
Thank you.
It's been a joy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
If our episode today touched you, inspired you, or brought you some good laughs, we would be honored if you subscribed to the Talk with Tori podcast and left us a quick review. This will give others who are scrolling through the podcast apps the ability to find us. Please share this with all the people in your life so more friends can hear our stories. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope this episode brought you joy, love, and spice.